Gospel reading this morning is from Luke, Luke 12, 13 through 21, and that's found on page 1617 in your pew Bibles. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be when whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Gracious and giving God, you have provided all that we need. Help us to understand that what you have given us is but a loan to share with others. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So almost 8 years ago, Ann and I went on a trip of a lifetime. The church she was working for at the time was the Second Presbyterian Church of Indianapolis. And Peyton Manning went to that church. And boy, howdy, you better believe they got the money. But they were also very generous, right? And one of the ways they were generous was that they would send some of their pastors and their spouses, me, to a trip to Greece, Italy, Turkey, and we got to see some of the most beautiful things in the world. But here was the catch. You have to go with 20 18-year-olds. Oh, limoncello. We couldn't have it. It was Ann's birthday. It was going to be wonderful. We couldn't have it. But one of the things we got to do when we went to follow the footsteps of Paul was go to the Vatican. And we got to go to the Vatican Museum. And we went in there, and it's so incredible. And I got a picture of it right here. This is the sanctuary of St. Paul's, or Peter's. And it's absolutely stunning. The majesty, the splendor, all of it has this profound effect on you. And if you think this is amazing, hallway after marble-lined hallway presents to your eyes sculptures, tapestries, paintings, mosaics, decorative furniture, gold, stained glass, and brilliant architecture, each pushing the limits of what you thought was humanly possible. And after a while, you start to get used to all this splendor, and you go, "Wow, that's amazing, that's amazing, that's amazing." And so by the time you make yourself to the Sistine Chapel, right? The most famous chapel in the world that Michelangelo painted on the ceilings and on the walls, and you just go, you look to your neighbor and just go, "Hey, Kim, I thought it was going to be bigger than this." That's how bad it is, because it's so much splendor and beauty. It's overwhelming, right? And you wonder why Martin Luther was losing his mind, right? Because you see this kind of stuff and you go, "Oh, I see why Martin Luther was mad." With so many things gathered in this one place, you start to forget what this place is supposed to be. A church. It's supposed to be a church dedicated to carrying out the mission of Jesus Christ. Serving the poor, the oppressed, the abused, the disadvantaged. And while I know some of the money that is made at the Vatican Museum goes towards some amazing transformational ministries around the globe, one still can't help but wonder how all of this abundance that you see serves the greater good. How is this abundance being used toward the ministry of Christ? One of the kids said to me after our trip there, "How many people could you feed by selling just one of those statues?" Today we're told a story of a man who has been given abundance. His crop yield was so plentiful that he had no place to store the extra product. Now you may remember that in Genesis, Jacob's son Joseph found himself in the exact same problem, having too much grain, too much wheat. What do we do with all this extra crop? And Joseph knew that this abundance was from a blessing from God and would not, should not, and will not be wasted or unfairly hoarded. Blessings like this should be shared with the community. So Joseph knew a famine was coming, so he ordered that the surplus crop be stored throughout the nation of Egypt in different cities, so that when the famine came, these people who were suffering would not go without. What Joseph knew was that blessings demand responses of generosity. Now, the man from our parable today was not immediately moved to generosity. Instead, he was conflicted. He was uncertain. And how could you blame him, right? You imagine, was that Powerball recently? How much was it? 400, that million? What was it? Something like that? Imagine looking down at a winning Powerball ticket or receiving an inheritance beyond your wildest imagination. Conflicted doesn't even begin to capture the feeling. But the man, trying to come up with a solution with his abundance, his solution was simple. I'm going to keep it all for myself. It's all mine. I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to live a life of comfort. I'm set for life, and I will build bigger barns to store all my grain, my goods, and I will say to my soul, "Oh, you've done so well. You have everything you could possibly need. Eat, drink, and..." Here's his fatal flaw. This man imagines a future only for himself. When you read this parable, you'll notice how many times this guy says, my barns, my grain, my wealth, my soul. Everything is about him. Me, myself, and I. It's all about this guy. And he fails to realize that God gave him these things. He fails to recognize that this was an abundance given to him. So what happens? This man is convinced that his possessions bring security to his life. The man believes that he's fine and his goods will protect him. God brings on what John Lennon would call instant karma. The rich man's dreams of many years and abundance are now destroyed by God's demand for his life that very night. And the abundance that the rich man was to enjoy, he will not be enjoying. And in fact, it will do him no good at all. The security of his abundance was empty. His possessions that he stored up cannot save his life. This author, Blake Bailey, wrote a book about his experience after Hurricane Katrina hit his home in New Orleans in 2005. And he recounts how he left New Orleans, and when he came back, they went back to their house that they had just bought 2 weeks previous, that had everything that they owned. And he comes back and he writes, "To see one's house after it's been hit by a Category 4 hurricane, then steeped in poisonous floodwaters, is to reflect on the vanity of all earthly striving. There, dead as a doornail, buried in waist-high debris, is the lawn you lovingly mowed 2 days before the storm. There is the kitchen that you cleaned on alternate mornings, the hardwood floor that you polished on your hands and knees, the furniture you assembled yourself, the Persian rug that you bought but you really couldn't afford. All of it rancid, moldy, buckled, and reeking." What this quote tells us is that our possessions, like our body, are temporary, corruptible, destructible. Their security is imaginary. And Blake, like the rich man from the parable, learned how quickly abundance can turn into famine. So when I turn the spotlight of this parable onto my own life, when I look at this parable and think about my life, I start downplaying my abundance. I think, certainly I have not received anything like this rich man did. When I see my bills piling up each month, I can only see famine, not abundance. But in refusing to acknowledge the blessings I have received from God, I make excuses for my comfortable lifestyle. Denial gives me an out, granting me justification for having not to share what I have with my neighbors. Because I enjoy the luxuries of a home, a job, more than enough to eat, a supportive family, a generous church, caring friends, and giving neighbors. How could I possibly deny this amazing abundance that I have received? But whether I am in self-denial or whether I'm intentional abundance, the failure is still the same. I have failed to give back out of my abundance and instead have managed to store the treasure of my comfortable lifestyle right here on earth. How often am I willing to make myself uncomfortable to help others? How can I give out of abundance that God has given me? Now, two have been blessed with abundance. To ignore the gifts and the talents of the people sitting all around here would be to deny that God's Spirit is working. And each of you adds to the abundance that God has given us. Not only with your financial gifts, but with your time, your talents, your compassion, your care, your love. That is something no amount of money could buy. And you all share it with us so freely. So today, we must not deny that this church has abundance. So the big question is, what are we going to do with that abundance? What are we going to do with all the gifts that we have been given from God? Because we can follow the path of Joseph, right? Who sees that abundance and says, I have to share this. Because who knows who's going to be in a position to need this when I won't? Or we can take the path of the rich man in the parable today, who says, well, I'm just going to keep storing it for myself, because why not? You all are very generous. We here at this church several years spent 10% of our budget to missions in this community and beyond. In a couple weeks, you will hear from Mission about the ways that this church shares the money that you generously give to make this church go. And the more you give, the more we will be able to share through our Mission Council. Because here is the truth. Abundance ends gracious. Otherwise, it is simply famine, wasted on satisfying our own selfish desires and our own happiness. So I encourage you today to look beyond the numbers. Look beyond your fear that there will never be enough. Beyond the selfish thoughts that you deserve so much more. See the money that we have, the possessions that we own, the life that we have been given as a loan from God. And each of us is accountable with what we do with that loan. Right? That is a loan. And God will hold us accountable. So let us not waste this abundance. Let us give. Let us give so that we may follow in the footsteps of Christ, sharing from the blessings that God has given us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.